Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 3 of Investing from the Beach. I'm your host. I'm Chris Hansen. And with me, I've got my co-host, Chris Lamb, today.
Hi, everyone. Chris is here.
The two of us were able to reach time freedom at a relatively young age. I got there when I was about 40. Chris did it when he was about 31. And over the years, I've had lots of people tell me that being able to leave the workforce at age 40 is impressive. But I got to tell you, I think it's incredibly impressive that Chris was able to do it in his early 30s. That's a huge testament that this can be done. Since we both achieve what many people would like to do, which is be able to walk away from a job, we've talked a lot about what it took, and we've seen a particular characteristic or trait that is lacking among lots and lots of people. And it's this. In investing, it doesn't matter if we're talking about real estate or the stock market. It doesn't matter if you're going down the entrepreneurial path, small business ownership, what have you. It really doesn't matter which path you go on. Investing is maybe 5% of how to do. So in other words, 5% of what it takes is the how to do portion. That's the mechanics, the cookbook, the rules, the tactics. The other 95%, and it's really probably closer to 99%, is how to think. And yet most people put all their focus on that 5% portion, and then they neglect that more important 95% portion. And then they wonder why they don't like the results and they've got to stay longer at the job. The purpose of the Investing from the Beach podcast is to talk about that 95% portion, which is how to think. And today we're going to talk about a couple of things. Those of you that have read Robert Kiyosaki's books, you're familiar with the concept of a cash flow quadrant. I believe it was the third book that he wrote. Those of you that aren't familiar with it, let me give you a quick explanation on it. And then we're going to talk about a different perspective that we have related to that. The idea on the cash flow quadrant is no matter who you are in the world, there are four potential sources of income from where, or four potential sources from where you can draw income. Kiyosaki defines them as E, S, B, and I. E is for an employee, basically says you have a job, you get paid by the hour, you're paid for your time. And S says you're self-employed, which says not so much that you're paid by the hour, but more so you're paid by the project. An example of that would be, think of like an accountant who's paid for doing your taxes. They're not paid by the hour for doing your taxes. They're paid by the tax return. And so in both of those quadrants, your potential income is limited by a couple of things. It's how much you can get per hour or how much you can get per project and how many hours you can work in a day or how many projects you can complete in a day. And you do the math on that, and that ends up being the max, if you will, that you could earn income there. There's a third quadrant there, third section of the quadrant that is known as the B area, the B quadrant, and that's for a business owner. The idea there is somebody who is getting paid for other people's time. So imagine that you are a plumber, self-employed as a plumber, and you're getting paid by the job to go out and do work. You realize that you have more work, so you bring in somebody else to work for you. And you end up putting that person out to work as well. So maybe you bill them out at $25 an hour, as an example, and you bill them out at $30 an hour. So that person working for you, you're making $5 an hour off of their time. And your upside income on that one is really unlimited because it really depends on how many people you can get working for you. If you can get two plumbers working for you, in that example, you're making $10 an hour. If you can get 200 plumbers working for you, you're making that much more. And so that would be a very simple example of the B quadrant. The last quadrant is an I for an investor. Easy way to think about that is other people's money making money for you as well as your own. And so that could be where you're putting dollars into a business or any other type of asset such that the money is working for you. And the money you'll find as you get deeper into this, your money will always work harder and smarter than you ever possibly could. Chris, any comments on that before we go into the next piece?
No, it's great. I think you kind of touched on that, and we can get into the model that we think makes a little bit more sense to us as far as how income really flows to you. So you want to introduce that, or you want me to talk about that, Chris?
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay, cool. So Chris has mentioned the cash flow quadrant, and you know, cash flow, Robert Kiyosaki, and the cash flow quadrant was really introduced to me early on when I was young, from Chris Hansen, through just kind of studying the model. I think really Robert Kiyosaki really is trying to get us to see that most of us have self-employed businesses, And we don't, you know, understand that in order to get or achieve time freedom, we need to change it into a, you know, a true business that can run on its own, right? So you got to turn it into a system that does not require your time. And so when, you know, we take a look at it from a, you know, where income flows to you and how much time you have to spend, we really think that there's really just three ways. So, you know, we came up with something called the money triangle. So picture in, you know, equilateral triangle, look like a pyramid. On the left side, we talked about employee, one of the employee quadrant, right, with the cash flow quadrant model. But in the money triangle, substitute that with a W, which stands for wages. Okay. And I'll go into, or I'll let Chris go into some of the details about that. But one side of the quadrant is wages. Other side of the quadrant we have is the self-employed. So you can get your income from being an employee earning wages, right, or welfare. You can get income from being self-employed as well. We talked about, you know, the CPA firm. The third way is the truly an investor. And we believe it's, well, there's only three ways because, you know, the only side of the triangle that will allow you to not involve your time, right, is the investment side. So comments on that, Chris?
Yeah, just going back, so there's there's three sides to it, right? You can either work for the business, you can work in the business. So if you work for the business, you're a wage earner. You can work in the business or on the business, if you will. That, to me, says that you're self-employed. Or you can own the business or have ownership of the business. That puts you as an investor. One of the things to think about, too, and I think back to the Kiyosaki model where he missed, it's a nit, but it's kind of, it's an important differentiator, I think, to be aware of. The W side, where we talk about the wage earner working for the business, and Chris alluded to it earlier, you've got the W, to me, stands for wages as well as welfare. And welfare could be somebody that is receiving a check from the county, from the state, on government assistance. It could also be somebody that's receiving Social Security or disability income. It could be somebody that's getting a government pension, whether you are a city, county, state, or federal employee, or a retired teacher, as an example. And then it could also be somebody who's drawing a pension from corporate America. So you either hope to or plan to or are now drawing a pension, if you will. And to me, in my mind, and I get some heat for when I say this, but I think people understand what I'm saying. They kind of finally come around and go, oh, I get the point. To me, the person that's receiving a pension is really a welfare recipient. And the idea behind that is that they're being paid off the kindness and the largesse and the charity, if you will, of some other entity. And some of you say, yeah, but I contributed the dollars towards that. Say, yeah, but you're not working for the business anymore. And so they're being kind to you to pay you for that service. But it's not mandated. If they decide to turn off that spigot, then you don't really have a leg to stand on. I've got a buddy who was a pilot with United Airlines. When he left, I think he was making in the range of about $350,000 a year at the high end of the pilot scale, from what I understand. When he retired with United, he was expecting a pension income of about $12,000 a month, which works out to in the range of about a 30% rate of what his final salary was. Well, United ended up filing bankruptcy, and they moved the pension to a government entity known as the PBGC, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp. And as a result of that, while the government was a backstop for it, it's kind of like FDIC with a bank, they're a backstop for the pensions, but his pension got reduced dramatically, down to the tune of, I think it's in the range of about $3,000 a month. So he went from an expected $12,000 down to a reality of $3,000. That's about a 75% haircut. And I say that not as a bash on the government, not to scare anybody, but to have people wake up and realize there is no guarantee.
That's huge.
It's a huge, you got to wake up to this. It's personal responsibility. And people will say, yeah, but Social Security, they guarantee they got to do it. Okay. I don't know that I would put a lot of, I hope it doesn't go away because, you know, I'll be drawing this at some point in the future, I hope, but it's certainly not anything that I plan on.
And if you're lying, it's a scary thought. I would be hurt, right, if I'm expecting $12,000 a month guaranteed and then somebody says, now you're only getting three.
Yep.
What do you do?
Yep. And so if that were to happen, you look at that and say, well, whose fault is that? And, you know, initial reaction might be to blame United or blame PBGC. I actually would go the other way. I would blame the retiree, saying you're relying on somebody else. And I know I'm going to catch some heat for this, but I'm a firm believer in personal responsibility. And while I hate to see that somebody took a haircut like that, kind of look at it and say, you were putting your eggs in that basket and the basket didn't work out. It's not good or bad. I mean, it is what it is.
It's so, basically somebody controlling, right, your happiness or your future kind of deal.
Somebody else has control of it. And yep. I just think it's very wise to be aware that that is a strong possibility. And then for many people, it's a reality. So just something to think about. But so let's go back to the money triangle. So we've got the one side of the triangle is the wage earner, if you will, or the welfare recipient. And then, Chris, the other side was the self-employed.
It's the self-employed, right? So earlier Chris said, hey, if you're an employee, you work for the business. So really the money triangle centers around a business. And if you're an employee, you work for the business. If you're self-employed, you pretty much are the business because the business cannot run without you. And it's always going to require your time, right? If you think about a CPA who's, you know, just crunching numbers and tax time, right? Even if they got accountants working under them, they're still managing that business. They're still running it. Self-employed, you know, you are the business, okay? And the other side of the last side of the triangle is the investment side or the investor side. So if you're an investor, you just put your dollars to work, right? So you could own a private company or you could own a public company, but basically you own a piece or all of the company. So, you know, it completely runs by on its own, right? So imagine you own McDonald's or Disney, right? These companies run by themselves. They have board members that, you know, vote and make decisions. They hire managers. They got, you know, a system in place that runs. You do not need to be there. In fact, you might not even qualify to be there, right? But your dollars are working for you, and these guys make money, and they'll give you the piece of it.
It's called ownership.
That's called ownership. So why is that so important? You know, really from a time where you spend your time for income, the investment side is one of the best because you spend pretty much no time there or very little compared to being an employee or being self-employed, right? So if you imagine all the people that are employees, they might complain, hey, it's so, you know, look at all the guys that got their small businesses, they make so much money. And then they don't realize that the guys that are doing self-employed stuff are, you know, spending 90 hours, 100 hours a week in their small business. But the real wealth comes from the investors, right? If you think about Buffett, Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, you know, when Gates was working for Microsoft, how much could you really pay him compared to what he makes by being an owner of Microsoft? Right. And Microsoft, I don't know what Microsoft was making at the time, but it was in the billions. And Bill Gates gets half of that.
Because
there's no way you can get a salary like that.
Chris, just back early on an earlier comment you made, do you know the definition of an entrepreneur?
What's that?
An entrepreneur is somebody who will spend 80 hours a week working hard so they don't have to spend 40 hours a week working for somebody else.
That's absolutely right.
Absolutely. You see that again and again and again. And that is the trap, if you will, of the S quadrant, where you're doing it yourself. There's nothing wrong
with that. Or the S side of the triangle, right?
Yes. Excuse me.
The S side. And so, and I think that's the fallacy, right? For most employees, they, you know, when they leave a company that they work for, they want to start their own business. And they usually will fall into that S side of the triangle. Right. And they don't realize that, hey, you're just now self-employed. You bought yourself a job and you're going to be working a lot more hours.
Jail with a door.
Correct.
Is what I've heard people refer to it as.
Chris, why is this all important? Why do we start, you know, with this whole concept of the money triangle and how money flows to you?
Before I answer that, one comment to make to you, and something you and I hear quite a bit. People will say, hey, well, you guys talk about the stock market, but I really like real estate. And in real estate, I understand I can get to passive income, which means I don't have to do anything for the money. You look at them and you kind of shake your head a little bit and say, you may not have really done this much if you really think that. Anyone that I've run into that spends time pursuing real estate, and I'm not bashing, I'm just trying to look at the reality of it. What you'll find is if you're going to be a landlord, So when you do, if you're going to, well, let's back up. If you're going to be a flipper, then you've got to put in your time to generate the dollars. And you either are doing the rehabbing yourself or you're hiring a contractor to do it for you. If you're going to be a landlord, so a buy and hold type, then that property is going to yield X dollars per year in gross revenue or gross rent. And with that dollars, you have to decide, are you going to hire a property manager, which says then that cuts into your profit, or are you going to do it yourself, which cuts into your time? And so you get to pick your poison. Either one is fine. Just be aware of it. But with that, if you want to have two properties, and if you're going to do self-management, now you've got a double claim on your time. And how many of those can you manage before suddenly you don't have enough hours in the day to do that? And then you graduate and you say, well, okay, what I'll do is I'll hire property management. Well, all you've done is you've outsourced that, but somebody still has to manage the manager. And so while you may be able to handle more properties, there still is a limit to how many you can do. And I've seen lots and lots and lots of examples. In fact, I hear them on podcasts where people do incredibly well in real estate and they keep building their small little empire, but they don't get to the point of time freedom. What they do is they built a small little real estate company.
And it's the S side.
Yeah. And it's just a bigger job. And while the money may be there, which is great, but they've built themselves into a job. I don't know. Personally, that is not what I was ever trying to do. I was trying to build myself out of a job.
And, you know, I think it's just because most people don't realize it. If they do realize it, they would stop and then switch course, right? Mm-hmm. And so that message is, once you understand where the money's flowing and where it relates to your time, then you would truly try to spend more of your time to get that income or build that experience, right, to learn how to invest so that you can have more time to yourself.
And do the things you want to do.
Not just, let me just grind away at this business.
And if you do want to be a, you know, real estate magnate and be running a huge, you know, real estate empire with lots of work and lots of employees, more power to you. That's awesome. But if that's not what you want to do, be careful if you're going down that path, because that's, to me, that seems to be what the end of the path is. It's an interesting thing, because as you start talking about whether you're looking at Kiyosaki's cash flow or if you're looking at the way we look at it with that money triangle, it's a couple of things. It's sources of income, but it's also a good way to measure where are you spending your time. And if you're spending your time working as a wage earner, it's no wonder you've got wage income. And spending your time on the S quad or the S side of the triangle, look where, you know, so you can not only see where, measure it by income, but you can also measure it by time. And where you're going to get the most free time is by focusing on the investment side.
Yeah, and Chris, I don't think there's a, you know, number out there, but, or, you know, any specific research that's done. But to me, if I had a guess, I would say about 80% of, you know, people are employees, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And probably about 15% of them are self-employed, and about maybe just that 5% is where, you know, you got people investing and relying most of their income from investing.
And my guess, right, so is I would expect you probably would see the wealth would be split that way too, where the bulk,
correct,
of the wealth is held by nine. It's amazing how it works.
Yeah. And then, like I said, yeah, 90% of that wealth, it probably is coming from the investor side,
mm-hmm, or held
and
by that.
And you can
side.
Combine, you know, wages and self-employed, right? That's the 5% or the 10%.
Yes. Yeah. It's a really, really interesting content. I guess when you open your eyes to it, you think, oh, look at that. And mm-hmm. then again, look at, and I did this a number of years ago. You did the same thing. We both had the realization of saying, my gosh, look where I'm spending my time. And, you know, if I keep doing the same thing for years and years and years, will that get me to where I want to go?
Yes.
And I could see it. And the answer was nope. And that's what caused me to go look at the stock market and figure out how to do that. And I think you had the same, you realized it much younger in life than I did. Right. And then achieve freedom much younger than I did. But it was because
that,
of that realization.
Thanks to you.
no, but it was either way, you did the work, but it was because, yep, of that realization to say, you know, if you continue chipping away at this rock, here's what you're going to find. And so you realize, oh, I better go find a different rock to chip away at.
And, you know, the interesting thing to look at too is from a perspective of, you know, the wage earner and the self-employed are really, you know, they go to work and they spend money and then it gets the investor richer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Well, and so that's why all the money's there.
It's that, but it's all, it just even a real simple thing. You know, if you own shares of Exxon, just as an example, pick a big, you know, big oil firm that all of us have heard of, and we probably have put gas in our tank at the mobile station. Being a shareholder of Exxon, they don't call you and say, hey, Chris, you know, you own 100 shares or 1,000 shares or whatever you own. You know, do you think we should raise the price at the pump this week? Because we had this issue going on in this refinery we have out in the Mideast. Do you think maybe we should raise the price at the pump by a penny? They don't ask you that. They also don't call and say, hey, I've got a troublesome employee in Houston. What do you think we should do with him? Or we've also got this great employee, and she is working her tail off. She puts in so in many incredible hours, and her objective is to rise higher in the organization. When and where should we promote her? You don't have to deal with any of that stuff. All you've hired a board of directors who hires an executive team who then hires managers, and it works all the way down, and you are very hands-off. It's the ultimate in passive income, right? You have an asset, and it just sits there. It's an awesome, awesome thing.
Oh, it's fantastic to have. That I think that's the only vehicle to allow you to have that time freedom. And I think we've mentioned before that, you know, Chris talks about the Tuesday waves and, you know, being able to, you know, do this podcast as well, right? To kind of fulfill that purpose to go out and share the message and help others. I mean, that's because we have that time freedom. Right. And if I were to be back working at IBM relying on a paycheck, you know, I would not enjoy my days or my time at all. And I would be stressing over, right, just pleasing somebody else. Right. That's not the place that, you know, anyone would want to be.
Your timing for making that was perfect. I don't know. I could hear her in the background squawking. He's got an infant in the back that was squawking for mom. That's pretty funny. So, Chris, I think at this point people would say, hey, so what's the next step? What do we do? You know, this sounds really cool. What do I do next? And you and I have talked about this. And my thought is, what I would suggest somebody do, there's a book out there called No Excuses. It's written by a guy by the name of Kyle Maynard, M-A-Y-N-A-R-D. And I know you get it on Amazon. You might even be able to get a Kindle off that, or even get it at the library. But I would suggest taking a read through that book. And the title describes it all. I'll give away a little bit on there. This guy has some incredible physical challenges and doesn't let it get in his way. And it really makes you stop and think when you see what this guy goes through and what he accomplishes. And whatever excuse you have in life that you're using to hold you back, it is not an excuse. It is incredibly weak. And I think what you'll find is when you realize that and you take a look at other people around you, or other people you've heard of, the people that are incredibly successful, they do a couple of things. I think you can kind of sum it up, is they take action, and they may be going the wrong way, but they take action and then course correct along the way. And I describe to people and say, look, you can get a roadmap from LA to New York, and you have to start walking, driving, riding the bike, whatever it is, whatever vehicle you're using to get there, you have to start. And what some people will do is they'll say, well, I haven't started yet leaving LA, but I got to know what the weather is like in Denver. So I know whether, you know, how do I pack and when is it supposed to rain in Kansas? And how do I deal with the flatlands going through Nebraska or wherever they happen to be going through? And yet they try and plan all this stuff out, but they won't start. And they come up with all kinds of excuses not to start, and they never get started. On the other hand, you get started and you course correct along the way. And so when you get to Denver, you deal with the issues you got to deal with in Denver. When you get to the plains of Kansas, you deal with the issues you got to get through in the plains of Kansas. And you go forward from there.
And Chris and I will talk about a lot of ideas and things that, you know, they're great concepts. But if you don't do anything about it, it doesn't really bring any value into your life. So we're about taking actions, and we're about giving you specific steps that you can do. Right, to make that change or to have that type of mindset if you don't already have that today.
I think
and the key thing is to bring about this model is to say, hey, you know, if you want that time freedom, it's going to be an investment side. And you got to go and learn this stuff, right? And the recommendation to read No Excuses is because people give a lot of excuses as to why they're not taking actions, right? And so Chris mentioned before, you got to take full responsibility because successful people, right, that's what they do. They take full responsibility for everything, right? Anything that happens in your life, if you take that approach, you will never make another excuse in your life.
I think there's that, and with that full responsibility, if you listen to the podcasts, are an awesome thing. You get to hear some incredible stories from people just, you know, sharing it. If the interviewer is good, you learn some very, very interesting things. But I think the responsibility piece is a huge, hopefully a huge eye-opener for people. If you listen to people that have done whatever it is that you wish to do from a success view, you'll never hear them blame somebody else. They look at their situation, say, this is what my situation is in life today. It is what it is, and I go forward from there. It's my fault that I am where I am. And whether that's a fault from a negative side or a fault from a positive side doesn't matter. But they take full responsibility for it and then know that to make a change in the future, that responsibility also lies with them. And I think once that realization hits people, you realize, oh, this is cool. Because if it's my fault where I am today, then I have the control to make a change going forward. The thing that I love about the stock market, and this may appeal to people, they don't really stop and think about this. I've heard lots and lots of excuses over the years. People will say, well, I'm not doing well at work because, and it could be a race statement. It could be a gender statement. It could be a sexual orientation statement. It could be a whatever. And the awesome thing about the stock market, nobody cares if you're fat or thin. Nobody cares if you're ugly or good looking. Nobody cares if you're gay or straight, black or white, dumb or educated. It doesn't matter. It all boils down to figuring out how to have dollars work for you. And it is an awesome, awesome thing. And so there are any barriers that you've come up with, excuses, if you will, or challenges that face you because of the way you are, they do not apply in the stock market. It is a total level playing field. It's a ruthless playing field, but it is totally level.
And that's what's cool about it.
I love that. That is so, so cool. You see all kinds of people that I've seen do this that are, you know, in, I don't know what the right word is, various groups, right? If you want to call it, you know, gay, straight, black, white, doesn't matter. And they're able to succeed at this. And those issues, if you will, that society may put on you are totally not relevant. Nobody cares. Nobody knows in the stock market. So it's a
and cool whether thing. You learn to invest in real estate or the stock market or whatever else, you know, that you can consider an investment, the key message is to go and learn, right? So as you go and explore, right, how to make money work for you, there is kind of a process and, you know, there's a development process that you go through. And as we reflect as well on, right, I think for me and my development going through the years of understanding the stock market, you know, it helps me recognize that the brain works a certain way. Mm-hmm. And in the next upcoming podcast, we'll talk about a little bit more about, you know, what you'll experience and what you can expect from the type of education or the type of information that's out there for you to get money working for you.
We've shown this, the concept he's referring to, we've shown this to a lot of people over the years, just kind of drawing it out on a whiteboard or just, you know, over the back of a cocktail napkin. And when you show the concept, people look and go, oh, that's so obvious. I never thought of it that way. That makes so much sense. And then they can easily relate that to their own situation and how they're looking at things. So that's what we're going to cover in an upcoming episode. Chris, anything else on this one?
No, I think that pretty much is the message that we wanted to share is, first of all, for you to, you know, to summarize, for you to understand that money triangle and where money is flowing to you today and where you're spending your time. So ultimately, we think, you know, everybody wants that time freedom, right, to be able to go achieve, you know, your life purpose. And if you want that, then you got to, you know, spend time learning about how to make money work for you. Right. And then, you know, take action as well. So first action to take is read that book that Chris has recommended.
Yeah, it's a great book. It'll really make you stop and think. It's not life changing. It's not biblical in its importance, but it really opens your eyes to like, oh, my gosh, whatever excuse you have is a bunch of garbage. It is not going to hold water. So with that, if you have thoughts for us, comments for us, or suggestions for an upcoming episode you'd like us to address, send us an email, investingfromthebeach@gmail.com. That's investingfromthebeach@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to give us a phone call, we'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, or again, ideas for a future episode. The phone number is easy to remember, and I'll give you a good visual for this. I love this. No matter where you are in the world, you can hop on, assuming you can get on a 747 airplane. So a huge jumbo jet, a 747. Within about 24 hours, I believe you can get to just about any beach in the world. And that ends up being our phone number, 747-24-BEACH. On a 747, in 24 hours, you can be at the beach. That's 747-242-3224. Give us a call. Let us know if you have questions. And let us know if you have ideas or suggestions for a future episode that we could discuss. We would appreciate it. Now, what I'd like you to do, I'm going to insert a sound clip, and I want you to take a very close listen to it, see if you can identify what it is. Here's the sound clip. Now, if you heard that, some of you are going to hear that and go, oh, come on, man, I know exactly what that is. That's just waves crashing on the beach. Well, I'm going to argue with you a little bit. You might want to rewind that, listen to it again, because those are not just any waves crashing on the beach. Those actually are Tuesday waves. I went down to the beach near my home in Huntington Beach, California, and I recorded waves on a Tuesday. And let me tell you, Tuesday waves are awesome. They sound so much better than the waves that everybody else gets to listen to on Saturdays and Sundays. And we know, and we firmly believe, that if you'll implement the ideas and the strategies and the concepts that we're talking about in this podcast, not just this episode, but in the other episodes on this show as well, if you'll implement those ideas and those concepts, you too will eventually get to the point where all you get to listen to and your choice is to listen to only Tuesday waves. You don't want to deal with those Saturday and Sunday waves that everybody else listens to. Tuesday waves are the way to go. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time.